You bring a Bible today? Hold them up for me where I can see. You already know the drill. Some of y'all are already doing it. Amen. Let's go to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. We started a new series last week talking about defeating fear before it destroys your destiny. And we talked about the children of Israel and the 12 spies that went in to spy out the promised land. 10 came back with a bad report. 2 came back with a good report. And how an entire generation was lost because of the spirit of intimidation. And they died in the wilderness when the promised land was already prepared. It was already waiting. It belonged to them, but they didn't step into it because of the spirit of intimidation that had held them at bay. And so this morning we're going to continue talking about defeating the spirit of fear. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. Here's what it says. It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his good to them. And to one he gave 5 talents." Somebody say 5. "To another 2. How many? And to another 1. To each one according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with him. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, 'Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more talents besides them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant.'" That's what we're after, isn't it? "You are faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. You were faithful over what I gave you. I'm going to give you more things to be over." Notice he said, "I will make you a ruler over many things." The reward for a job well done is another job to do in the kingdom. He says, "Enter into the joy of the Lord." I love that, that every level we step up in the kingdom of God, there's a greater joy that awaits us. Verse 22, and here's the reason for that if you're one. And the Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. You need new strength for a new job. Amen? He says in verse 22, he says, "He also who had received 2 talents came and said, 'Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I've gained 2 more talents besides them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things.'" He said the exact same thing to the guy who earned 2. Enter into the joy. Somebody say joy. The kingdom of heaven is not eating and drinking, but it's righteousness and peace and joy, the Bible says, in the Holy Spirit. Verse 24, "Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and I was afraid, and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours.' But his Lord answered and said to him, 'You wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest.'" Verse 28, "Therefore take the talent from him." Take it away and give it to him who has 10 talents. Verse 29, "For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." I want you to go back to verse 25, because this is the key of everything we're talking about today. He said, "And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground." Father, in the name of Jesus, over the next few minutes, I thank you that you have softened our hearts today by your presence. I thank you, Father, that we are open today to your word. Father, implant the incorruptible seed of your truth in our lives. Do the work that only you can do. I thank you that it is alive today. Father, release your life in each of us. I pray that fear would be driven far from us today. I ask for an anointing, your power, that would lift every burden and destroy every entanglement to bondage in our lives through fear. We thank you, Father, today that you have a destiny, a purpose for each and every one of us. I pray today, if there be anyone here that does not know that your Son is their Savior, that before we leave this day, they would call on him and their names would be written in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. We've got to defeat fear before it destroys your destiny. Look at your neighbor and tell them it's time to defeat your fears before they destroy your destiny. Last week we talked about intimidation. Now, if you remember, I said intimidation is the fear that someone else is bigger than me. What is intimidation? The fear that someone else is bigger than me. But today I want to talk to you about inferiority. And I believe the inferiority complex, the spirit of inferiority, has gripped America in a tremendous way. And today we need to see it broken. Because here's the thing. Inferiority is a belief. Somebody say a belief. And here's why that's important. Because what you believe is what you receive. It is a belief that you are less worthy than you actually are. It is a belief that you are less capable than you are. It is a belief that you are less important than other people. Now, if you notice, everything I just said you are less. Amen? It is a belief or a lack of self-worth in yourself. Inferiority is to be full of doubt. It's to be full of uncertainty about yourself. It's feeling like you don't measure up. And I'm not going to ask you to lift your hand today if that's described you, but without a doubt, every single person in this room has been impacted and influenced by that spirit of fear called inferiority at some point in their life. And depending on how you handle it, whether you overcome it or not, will determine what you accomplish for God in this life and how you'll stand before Him when that day of judgment comes in our life. Intimidation is the fear that someone else is bigger than me, but today we're talking about inferiority, and inferiority is the fear that someone else is better than me. It's the fear that somebody else is better than I am. Now, I want you to understand today that the devil is a liar. Pretty simple, isn't it? The devil is a liar. I said the devil is a liar. The Bible says when he speaks a lie, he speaks in his own tongue. He does not even know how to tell the truth. He'll tell you half the truth. You know what they say about half-truths, Kim? You got to watch half-truth because you don't know which half you'll get. But the devil is a liar. And here's the deception in that fear, that false fear. Remember fear, F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real. Fear that someone else is better than me. The lie there, the deception there that is created by the feeling of inferiority is completely false, because in the kingdom of God, Eric, it is absolutely impossible for somebody else to be better than you. Because there's nobody else in the kingdom of God, Mark, like you. Until you find somebody else, Elena, with the same fingerprints you've got, then stop comparing yourself. Because you're just comparing apples to oranges. It is impossible for someone else in God's kingdom to be better than you. And I want to break down this parable, and I want to give you some truth from it this morning that we can understand and take with us. If you're taking notes today, the first one is this. Number one, I want you to understand who the master is. The master is obviously Jesus in this, and we are the servants. Who's the master? Jesus. Who's the servants? Who's the master? Jesus. Who's the servants? Okay. The talents represent an entrustment that God has given us that we can go out and make a difference for His kingdom with. The first thing is this. The master gave every person something. I love that. Nobody got left out. He brought his servants to him. He gave all three of them something. The Bible says in verse 14, he said he called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. The Bible says the master gave every person something. And we can break those talents down that God has given us. Everything God has given us in our lives falls into one of three categories: time, talent, and treasure. He has given you those things. Every single person here, he's given you time. He's given you talents or abilities that he's hardwired into your life. Things that you're able to do. Motivational gifts. Even the gifts of the Spirit. And treasure. He's given you increase in your life and let you decide how you use it. I love what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12:7. If you'd read it with me on the screen, it says this. It says, each person is given something. Each person is given something to do that shows who God is. Somebody say, he's talking to me. Nobody gets left out on this. Everyone gets in on it. Everyone benefits. How many people get in on it? How many? How many people benefit? How many? all kinds of things are handed out by the Spirit and to all kinds of people. I love that. God loves diversity. That's why none of us are the exact same. That's why you shouldn't get all weirded out because people are different than you. Thank God they're different than you. Right? If you were both the same, one of you is unnecessary. And our government will choose for you which one. We won't even go there this morning. Each person is given something to do. Number one, the master gave every person something. Somebody say, I have received something from the master. Okay. Number two, they are the master's talents. They are the master's talents. The Bible says he called to him his own servants and he gave them his goods. They are the master's talents. The talents belong to the master. Now watch this. They came from the master and they are to be used for the master. I said they came from the master. I'm just a steward. I'm just a manager. I'm not an owner. I was watching Barrett Jackson. I love watching him auction those old cars. And anybody else watch that? Yeah, y'all know what I'm talking about. And I was watching him, and the guy said, well, he didn't call himself the owner. He said, I've been the caretaker for, and he had the car forever. I've been the caretaker. That's the way we ought to look at things with God. Amen? We're the caretakers of the things he's given us. They came from him, and they're to be used for him. Again, 1 Corinthians 12:7, in the message it says, each person is given something to do, but here's the kicker. That shows who God is. Every one of you have been given something to do that reveals who God is. That when people look at your life and they see you doing the thing that God placed in your hands, when they watch you, they can see him. Whether you're pumping gas, whether you're standing at a chalkboard, whether you're running a push broom, whether you're shoveling out stalls in a horse barn, whether you're an accountant, a mechanic, whatever it is you're doing, whether you're at McDonald's or wherever it might be, Larry, whether you're pouring concrete or laying brick like you do so well, let me tell you, when you do something like that at your best ability for the glory of God, people look at you and they see him. Can you say amen today? That's exciting for us to understand. And I want you to see this. The talents were valuable. Now, he uses, Melvin, money because we all understand money. Isn't that true? He used money to explain how forgiveness goes. And he's using money to explain this too. Now, I've told you before what a talent was worth. We don't pay for things in talents. When you go to Dollar General and you get your sack of deodorant, you do get a sack of deodorant, don't you? They don't say that'll be 3 talents. We pay in dollars, but here's what a talent was. A talent was the equivalent of 16 years' wages. 16 years' common wages. Watch, hang with me just for a second. He said a talent. He gave them talents. A talent was 16 years' wages. So the talents are valuable, so we should treasure them. We should guard them. We should protect them. And they are not disposable. But watch this. 16 years common wages. If Tony, a person finds their God-given talent and steps into it, it will accelerate their life 16 years per talent past where they would have been had they have tried to do it on their own. Did you get a hold of that this morning? You look at some people's lives, you say, how in the world did that person accomplish that fast? They have found out what God created them to do. And whenever you stand back and look at it, nobody can take credit for it. And all you can say is, to God be the glory, great things he has done. The talents only produce increase when they're put to use. Okay. So number one, the master gave every person something. Number two, they're the master's talents, not ours. Number three, the master decides who gets what. That's why you shouldn't get upset at what somebody else has that you don't. The master decides who gets what. In verse 15, he says, and he gave 5 talents to another 2 and to another 1. But watch this. To each according to his own what? Ability. He gave to each person according to their ability. God knows exactly what you need to succeed. I said, God knows exactly what you need to succeed. He gives to each person according to their own ability. The master decides who gets what. Number four, the master gave each servant the choice of how they would invest their talents. These men have the master's permission to decide how to invest his resources in his best interest. That's what God does in our lives. Number five, the master expected them to use what he gave them. Your master expects you to use what God has given you, which means I must identify it before I can begin to use it in my life. The master expected them to use what he gave them. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. Here's what the Apostle Paul says. He says, "But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace towards me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me." Paul says, I did more than anybody else. How did he do it? How did he do it? What does the Bible says? By the grace of God, I labored more abundantly than they all. How many of you have tasted of the Lord's grace? You've been born again. You've received his amazing grace in your life. Paul said, the grace of God towards me was not in vain. God has not just saved you from something. He saved you for something. You've got to find out what that something is for. Because there's more to walking with Jesus than just getting ready for the last day of your life. There's more to walking with Jesus than just getting your I'm not going to hell card punched. That's part of the gospel, but that's not all the gospel. That's why we're a church on a mission. We're not afraid of going to hell. Amen? Because we've been redeemed for that. Now God's given us something else to do. Living for Christ is about more than getting ready for the last day of your life. It's about making the most of God's grace every single day of your life, because there will come a day when you will stand before the master. And when that day comes, I want to have something to offer him, Kayla, as a gratitude, a gift of gratitude, to say, thank you, Jesus, for everything you did for me at Calvary that you didn't have to do. Number six today, the master rewarded them based on what they did with what they were given. They were rewarded based on what they did with what they were given. Very important that we understand this. In the kingdom of God, you need to cling to this parable, this story, because increase and promotion and responsibility will always be measured out to you as you follow this pattern. We're faithful with what we've been given. We're fruitful with what we've been given. Faithfulness is the vehicle that gets me to a place of fruitfulness. Fruitfulness brings promotion in my life because it says I can be trusted with what I have now. And I'm ready for a new responsibility. And the master gives us more so that we can do more for his glory in return. You will be rewarded based on what you do with what you are given. So watch this. My next level with God, my next season, my next promotion in the kingdom is determined by what we do with what God has given us right now. What I do today determines my tomorrow. You ought to write that on your mirror at home. What I do today determines my future. It determines my what's ahead of me, because my success is not determined. People think we want to live on the mountaintop all the time and constantly live in victory. Listen, you don't get victory without a battle. At some point, there's got to be blood, sweat, and tears. There's got to be smoke. There's got to be a fray. There's got to be a fight. And that fight's with the enemy. It's not with people. And we fight that fight by faith. Paul said, I have fought the good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished my race. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown in heaven. So success is determined by what I do daily. That's what faithfulness is all about. Success is determined by what I do daily. Number seven, the master never, I love this, he never compared them to each other. God does not compare you to anybody else. I thought somebody would be happy about that today. I know your wife does. Maybe your husband compares you to his mama. But God does not compare you to anybody else. Watch this. He didn't say to the one who earned two, hey, slick, why didn't you earn five like him? He judged that one according to his ability. And he judged that one according to what he had given them, not according to somebody else's ability. If God doesn't compare you to other people, if God doesn't measure your life by other people, then why are you? See, well done, good and faithful servant, that's what we're after. Is that true? That's what we're after. When we meet Jesus, that's what I want to hear. I said Wednesday night, well, maybe I'll tweak that a little bit. I want to hear overdone instead of well done. But we want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. But have you ever thought about what does that mean? Does it mean you did good compared to the person sitting next to you? Does it mean we did good compared to some other group of people? What does well done mean? Well, well done means how good you did compared to how well you could have done. How did you use your potential? Somebody says, well, that person has great potential and shows incredible promise. Well, terrific, la-di-da. And here's why I say that. I don't mean that wrong, but everybody has potential. The difference is what you do with it. That's like saying, of all the people in the world, she's one of them. You just said nothing. Praise God, you've got potential. So does everybody else in the world. Somebody please tell me what separates the one who do something with their potential from the ones who don't do something with the potential. How well did you use what you were given? How well did you use what you do have? Can I tell you today that you do have talent? I said, you do have talents. The Bible says everyone was given something. Watch me. I can't do anything with what I don't have. God has never, and in the Word, asked a person for something they didn't have. The starving woman that Elisha met, he said, go get his first question to her, what's in your house? What do you already have? The disciples come to Jesus whining, we don't have enough money, we don't have enough food, we can't feed them something. Jesus said, what do you have? He said, we got 5 loaves and 2 fish, that ain't enough. He said, bring me what you do have, and I'll show you what happens when you use what you do have. I'll do with it what you didn't have. I can't do anything with what I don't have, but you can do the impossible when you focus on what you do. Just ask George Washington Carver, what do you have, bud? I got a dream to use a peanut. 700 different ways later, he's an American icon because he focused on one thing. Amen? We spend so much time focusing on what we don't have that somebody else does, and what we want to do is we want a talent swap. Well, why did he get 5 talents and I only got one? She's God's favorite. They got something I didn't get. They got more than I got. Why didn't God give that to me? Well, he already said it, because he gives to you according to your ability. And when we have that attitude, what we're saying to God is, God, you really didn't know what you were doing when you created me. You didn't really know what the world needed when you sent me into this earth through my mother's womb. And what we're saying is, what they have, this is really what it comes down to, what they have is better than what I have. And what we did was we just opened the door to the spirit of inferiority, because again, inferiority is the fear that someone else is better than me. And when you open the word, the door to that B word in your life, that better word, they're better than me. This person does that better. This person looks better. This person is better at that. Then here's what it creates. It leads to another nasty word in the kingdom of God, and it's competition. Because if they got it and I don't have it, then I must have got gypped. And all of a sudden, I begin to get resentful, because life was better to them. God was better to them. They made it and I can't, because I don't have what they have, or they don't have what I have. Nothing will kill a move of God's spirit faster than the spirit of competition. Nothing will kill a move of God in your home, on the job, in your marriage, or in a church faster than the spirit of competition. Competition is a good thing for business. It's an awful thing for the kingdom of God. Businesses compete because there is a limit to the slices of the pie in the market share. But can I tell you that when you're in the kingdom of God, there is no limit to the pie that our daddy has. Hallelujah. He can serve you a heap and helping. He can serve me a heap and helping. And he never runs out. God has not called you to compete. Here's why. Because in Christ, I'm already complete. I'm competing with people because I'm trying to get something I don't have. The Bible says in Colossians, in him I'm complete. I don't have to compete. This is a revelation that will break you free today. I don't have to compete because in Jesus I'm complete. I got everything I need right now. I got it all right now. Whether I'm experiencing it or not, the promises of God are yes and amen. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, God's best belongs to me right now. I'm not competing with you. You can be his favorite and I can too. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, God has not called you to compete because in him you're already complete. Anna, come up here with me. You get it twice today. Come here, come here, come here, come here. You look so pretty today. Did you have a good birthday? Did you have fun? What kind of party did you have?
Minion.
Minion, off Despicable Me. Likes them minions. They're funny, aren't they? Anna is my favorite daughter. You know you're my favorite daughter? You know, everybody out there is raising their eyebrows like, he is the worst father I've ever heard of in my life. He got two girls and he just said that this one is his favorite. Now, hey, hi, baby. What you doing? Your smooch are working? You want to come give me one? You come give me a smooch? Come here, come here, come here, come here, come here. What are you doing? You want to say anything? Okay. That's good enough. Okay. So this is Zoe, and she's my favorite daughter. Say, so how do you have two favorite daughters? Here, very simple, because they're not the same, and they never will be, and they don't have to be. That ought to make you feel good. God's not judging you by anybody else. Let me tell you something else. They don't have to compete for my love because there's no limit to it. I got enough for both of them, and God is the same with his kids. And Zoe can be the best she can be. Boy, you're styling today, girl. And you know it. And Anna can be the best she can be. And I can be the best I can be. And together we can do something great for God. Because there is no competition, amen? And as a result of removing competition, people can thrive and they become secure in who they are. And they don't feel like they have to fight to get a place in the kingdom. I don't have to fight to get a place in my home. I don't have to fight to get daddy's attention. I've already got it. Can you give him glory this morning? So powerful for us to understand today. I love you both. But here's what I want to say today. Why? Why did the third servant miss out on the opportunity? Why didn't he have anything to show for what he had been given? Why didn't he jump on this opportunity to be part of what the master was doing? And I want you to look again at verse 24 and 5. It said, then he who had received one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered. And I was afraid. There he gives the excuse. Why? I was afraid. And because he was afraid, he did some things. He says, I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, here's what you have. He says, I was afraid, so the first thing he did was he went and hid it. Somebody say, he hid it. Fear will always drive you into hiding. After Adam sinned against God, God came to walk with Adam like he did every day at the same time in the cool of the garden. Adam heard the voice of God. God said, Adam, where are you? And the Bible says that Adam went and hid because he was afraid. Lot, after God brought him out of Sodom and Gomorrah with his daughters and his wife, his wife, as you know, turned around and was reduced to a pillar of salt because of her disobedience. But they were afraid to dwell in the land of Zoar because of fear. They went out and they lived in the caves in obscurity. Elijah, the mightiest prophet in the Old Testament, it was fear after he won the victory on Mount Carmel that drove him into a cave. And he said, God, just kill me now. Can I tell you that nothing good happens in hiding because you cannot hide in the light? God called you to live your life in the light, not in the darkness. This man's fear caused him to hide. It caused him to cover it. It caused him to conceal it. It caused him to keep to himself what God had given him. And that's exactly what people struggling with the spirit of inferiority do in their lives. They keep that thing to themselves. The spirit of inferiority will cause them to isolate themselves. And when they isolate themselves, they isolate the treasure that God has placed in earthen vessels. And as a result, not only do they suffer, but their families suffer, and the kingdom of God suffers. Number two, he said, I not only hid it, but I buried it. Somebody say, I buried it. He did more than hide it. He didn't go put it somewhere, but he buried it in the ground. And he literally, here's what that means. It means to cover it up with dirt. Can I ask you this morning, what dirt have you hid his gifts under? Because hiding in fear will always cause you to fall into sin. As I said, Lot, when God brought him out of Sodom and Gomorrah, here's what happened. They were afraid. He was with his two daughters. He was afraid to live in Zoar. So they go and they live in a cave. Here's what ends up happening. His daughters end up having incest with him after getting him drunk. And they have two babies by their daddies that become arch enemies of Israel. When you do things like that and you allow fear to drive you into the dark places, Satan gives birth to things in your life that can plague you for many generations to come. But God has called you to come out in the light and allow that to be broken in the name of Jesus. He said, not only did he hide it, not only did I bury it, but here's the last thing he said. He said, I'm giving you back what you gave me to start with. And what that means is that fear, the spirit of inferiority, that small-mindedness because you can't see yourself successful, it always leads you to a hold-the-fort mentality. He settled for survival instead of significance. And how many of us as God's people have settled for survival in our life rather than paying the price to find out what God has called us to do? But here's what I want to get to this morning. What was it that he was afraid of? Fine, fear is what the cause was. Fear is what his excuse was. But verse 24 tells us specifically, Barbie, what this man was afraid of. Why he didn't step into this, Chris. And it was simply because I knew you were a hard man. He was afraid of this man. He was intimidated, like we talked about, by this man, the master. Watch. His fear stemmed from the way he saw the master. Here's the difference. Was the master really that way, or was it his perception of the master? Because the other two guys did just fine, and they knew the master just the same. How can it be that we sit in a room today and some of us know God to be one way and others of us believe God to be another? Some people will thrive and other people will falter. But his perception of the master limited what he was willing to attempt. Fear will always pervert the way you see the master. I said, fear will always pervert the way you see the master. And when it does, it will limit what you're willing to try for him. Because when we don't trust, we don't try. Or when we stop trusting, we stop trying. That's a word for somebody's marriage. We don't try when we don't trust. But let me tell you today that you can trust the Lord. I said, you can trust God today. Give thanks to the Lord for he is good. His mercy endures forever. Jesus said, I've come that you could have life and have it more abundantly. The Bible says his mercies are new every morning. They fail not. Hallelujah. The Bible says that he has declared you more than a conqueror, that he has declared you an heir of God, that he has declared you a joint heir with Jesus today. Can I tell you that if you see God like this man did, you're running the risk of ending up like he did. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. What you don't know can kill you. I cannot know God through my emotions, Becky. I can't know God through the opinions of other people. I cannot, Randy, know God through my personal experiences in life. There is only one way to know that you know that you know. And you have a perfect revelation of who your Father in heaven is. And it comes through His written word, hallelujah. Because in it I find a God who loved me from A to Z, from cover to cover, from Genesis to Revelation, who jumped out of eternity into time, wrapped Himself in flesh, and said, I want to spend eternity so bad with you, I won't let anything stand in the way. I'll go to the cross for you. I'll become a curse for you. I'll take your sin for you. I'll take your sickness for you. I'll defeat Satan for you. I'll bless you. I'll strengthen you. I'll give you a purpose. I'll give you a life of promise. I'll give you my power. Dan, I'll put my very own spirit on the inside of you. I will give to you the inheritance that belongs to me. Even though your record wasn't perfect, I'm going to give it to you like it was, and you're going to get, Jack, what's mine because of my perfect record. Thank God for that today. Stand with me this morning. Fear is not an acceptable excuse to the master. I said, fear is not an acceptable excuse with God. He said, I was afraid I might disappoint you. He was paralyzed, church, by the fear of failure. There are people so afraid to disappoint others, so afraid to let them down, so afraid that they might fail. They have no confidence in themselves, that instead of trying something, we settle to not try for anything. Can I tell you, you cannot be afraid of failure. Everybody fails on their way to success. Every baby stumbles while she's learning to walk. Failure is the price of progress. Falling is one thing, hallelujah. The Bible says a righteous man may fall 7 times, but he rises again. The devil may knock you down 9 times, but all you got to do is get back up again. Your story hasn't finished being written. Your fate has not been sealed. Your destiny is not over. You can make a choice today to say, in the name of Jesus, I'm breaking free from the spirit of inferiority. Everybody who's ever succeeded has failed. You got to stop living in fear of failure. Hallelujah. Jesus won the victory. Amen. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Because here's the thing, fear will keep you from where God's called you. That's why you've got to defeat fear before it destroys your destiny. This man said, I was afraid I would lose. And the thing he feared most is the thing that came on him, as Job said. His perception became his reality because the master looked at him and he didn't want to, but he said, you wicked and lazy servant. Take from him what he has and give it to the guy who already has church. You can't afford to have an inferiority complex. You can't afford to believe you're unworthy whenever the word of God says you're worth the blood of Jesus. You can't afford today to believe that you're incapable when Philippians 4:13 says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You can't afford today to believe you're inadequate when Paul said in Ephesians 1:3 that God has already blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. You can't afford to believe you're insufficient when Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:9, my grace is sufficient for you, and in your weakness my strength will be perfected. You can't afford today to believe that you're less important than the person next to you, because God has declared over you, you are the apple of my eye. I've numbered the hairs of your head. I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a future and to give you a hope. Psalm 139:17 says, the thoughts of your Father can't even be numbered. They're so great. If God had a refrigerator today, your picture would be on it. You cannot afford to bow down and cave in and go away and hide and bury yourself by the spirit of inferiority. You're not inferior to anybody. Greater is He that's in you. Greater is He that's in you. God Almighty, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Come on, give Him praise. Hallelujah. Every head bowed and every eye closed. There are those of you here today, and this is spoken specifically to you. I'm not going to call you forward or anything else, but if you're here today and you say, Josh, that's me. I've been struggling with that attitude in my life. I've let inferiority get the best of me. If that's you here today, without any thought of who's next to you, would you slip up your hand? Josh, that's me. I've wrestled with that. I think less of myself. My thoughts about me don't line up with what God says about me.